When Venerable Sariputta was asked to describe a particular quality of experience in meditation, and he'd been explaining how his mind was at that time had been completely unattached, disentangled from the sense world. Completely letting go of attachment, identification with sight, sound, feeling, perceiving of all kinds. He was asked, when the mind was in experiencing that quality of supreme detachment, non-entanglement, were you aware of anything? And he said, yes. What I was aware of is Nibbana is the cessation of becoming. Nibbana is the cessation of becoming. Now we take a little picture, a vignette, story from the suttas, and you have a great Arahant disciple there and describing some profound state of meditation. But the usefulness of these stories and images is how they map on to our own practice, how they inform our own way of working with the mind and with our experience of the way things are, the way the world is. A simple statement, Nibbana is the cessation of becoming. That insight became clear when there was a disentanglement from the sense world. So as we develop the practice over this winter retreat period and through these times of silence and inner reflection, contemplation, we can look directly at this, know this for ourselves. How when the mind is clearly unattached, not entangled or identified with hearing, feeling, thinking, the sensations of the body, the moods, mental images, with that disentanglement, that clarity, there's the experience of Nibbana, peacefulness. When the habit of becoming has stopped, when there is no grasping at the arising and passing of seeing, feeling, remembering, thinking, imagining, smelling, tasting, touching, when the becoming stops, what remains is Nibbana. It's a very simple formula, very simple representation. As long as the mind is caught in the arisings and passings, pleasant and unpleasant, inside and outside, coarse and fine, pure and impure, then the quality of peacefulness is obscured. It's not apparent, not visible. But when that disentanglement is actualized, when there's a non-grasping in all respects, the heart is completely free of grasping, what is present is peacefulness, a sense of wholeness, security, simplicity. We can take a simple phrase, Nibbana is the cessation of becoming. Take that simple phrase and pick it up and explore it. What are the habits of becoming? what way does this I get created? Through loving things, fearing things, having opinions about things, identifying with the body, with the personality, with the imagined past and future, our memories, our ideas, our personality, feelings of love and hate for what we see and hear, smell and taste and touch, what we want, what we resent, what we fear, what we own. Those are the many different locations of becoming, the fuel for creating me and mine, Ahankara, made of I am, Mamankara, made of mineness. The development of vipassana, insight meditation, is the process of bringing attention to those thousand areas of becoming. Desire to not be, desire to be, desire to get, to have, whatever shape it might take. Vipassana is like bringing up a lens to look closely at those areas of habit. To recollect the world that we experience is largely the world that we create. It's structured and colored by our attitude. If we attach to insecurity and anxiety, the world is a frightening place. If we attach to negativity, aversion, complaining, criticizing, the world is a really annoying place. If we attach to desire and greed, acquisitiveness, then the world is very arousing, full of desirable, lust-inducing objects. I want, gotta have. All of that is just built out of hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. The world we experience is formed out of the attitude through which it is experienced. That in the world through which one is a perceiver of the world, a conceiver of the world, that is called the world in this Dhamma and discipline. It's a small expression, a small statement, but it points to the fact. And we create our own worlds. And the world is experienced here in this mind. That in the world whereby you are a perceiver of the world, a conceiver of the world, that's called the world. So the world is seeing, hearing, remembering, imagining, tasting, smelling, touching. It's the world of our own experience. The world is in your mind. As long as we think that the world is out there, it's Great Gadsden, Hertfordshire, St. Margaret's Lane, Hudnall Common, Hertfordshire, England, Europe, the planet, that's the world out there. The Milky Way and the Andromeda Galaxy and the vast reaches of space, that's the world out there. And we can never come to the end of the world. We never come to any finality, any completion. But if we listen to the Buddha's teaching, once again, just take that simple, short teaching to heart. That in the world whereby one is a perceiver of the world, seeing, hearing, cognizing, knowing, through which one is a conceiver of the world, our attitude, our imagination, our thinking faculties. That is called the world. So according to the Buddha, the world is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, remembering, imagining. All we can say of the world is the world is about the world that we know, this world, hearing these sounds, feeling this body, its weight, the texture of cloth upon our skin. Understanding these words or not understanding these words. Liking these words, disliking these words. Noticing the spaces between the words. The world is hearing, feeling, thinking, remembering. And when we recognize that the world is in the mind, rather than me moving around in the world out there, there's a shift, a radical shift of perspective. The world is in here. In the moment of recognizing that the world is in your mind, it's not creating a philosophical opinion or taking a fixed view, but looking, recognizing how in this moment my world is made up of hearing, feeling, thinking, sensing, tasting, touching. That's my experience of the world for all of us. That's what's here. That's what's knowable. And it's known within the space of this awareness. When we recognize the actuality that the world is the world of our experience, notice what happens in that shift of perspective. Because in a way, when we bring the world inside, or we recognize that it always has been inside, then in a way the world is more contained, it's restrained. As the Buddha puts it, things are held in check. There is nirodha, cessation. The world is held. When he spoke to the Deva Rohitasa, he said, it's impossible to get to the end of the world by walking, but unless you reach the end of the world, you'll never reach the end of dukkha. Then he said, it's in this very body, with its perceptions and thoughts, this fathom-long body, there's the world, the origin of the world, the cessation of the world, and the way leading to the cessation of the world. And when you talk about the cessation of the world, it's not that everything going up in a nuclear explosion, being sucked into the dying sun. The end of the world is simply holding the world within the framework of our own awareness. That's how the world ends, knowing that it's here. The origin of the world, the cessation of the world, and the way leading to the cessation of the world. That cessation, that checking, that holding of the world is simply to know everything of the world arises and passes away here, in this citta, in this heart. This is how the world ends. And in its passing is peace. When Lumpo Cha spoke about this in his very simple and direct manner, he used this phrase, still flowing water. The mind is like still flowing water. The perceptions of the world, flow, thoughts and feelings, moods, loving, hating, fearing, desiring. They flow, tasting, smelling, touching, in an incessant, never-ending flow. But that which knows the flow, that which is aware of the flowing of perceptions, is not going anywhere. It's always here, awake, present. Outside of space and time, therefore, perfectly still. Still flowing water. Perceptions and thoughts, feelings, moods, love and hate, flows. But that which knows love and hate, success and failure, pleasure and pain, is not going anywhere, ever present, all embracing. The space of your own heart that receives everything, knows everything, lets go of everything. When we shift the perspective in this way, then that stillness, that peacefulness, that clarity is not obscured or obstructed by the patterns of flow. We hear a sound, but we can discern the silence behind it. We see movement, but we can perceive, we can know the stillness within which that movement takes place. We see objects, but we can perceive, discern, know the space within which those objects appear. So even though there's movement, activity, taste and smell and touch and thought, when we remember these qualities of still flowing water, stillness, silence, space are not obstructed. Not lost, obscured by the presence of the flowing objects. The cessation of becoming doesn't mean that there's no sound or feeling or thought. It means there's a total disentanglement from them. They still flow. Hearing, feeling, thinking, remembering, imagining, smelling, tasting. It's all still there. But there's the stillness of the heart, the vast open heart within which all those flowing perceptions and thoughts take shape, do their thing, and then dissolve. And nibbana is the cessation of becoming. Doesn't mean that the world is frozen, things stop arising, things pass away never to arise again. The world still flows, but the unshakable peace is taking refuge in that which is aware of the flowing patterns of change. Awake, open, perfectly peaceful.